Psalms 128 this evening, and there are six verses. We're going to read all six verses together. I'm going to ask you if you can, if you'll stand with me. We'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. We'll read these verses responsibly. I'll read the first. You join me in every other verse. But Psalms 128, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Together in verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. So this is the ninth of the Ascension Psalms, Psalms 128, the ninth Ascension Psalm. We'll get more into it, but first we're going to pray. So let's bow our heads, let's pray together. Lord, we would ask your blessing upon the preaching of your word. We have spoken on Sunday mornings, Lord, about the importance of your word and what your word does. And we look to that tonight, Lord. We believe that your word protects and encourages and convicts and warns and moves us and all these things that your word does. And we want it to work in our life tonight. And pray through your spirit that would be the case. Now we ask for this in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last Sunday night, we're in Psalms 127. And Psalms 127 and 128 is connected together more than simply one after the other. There is a connection here. Psalms 128, the one current one we're on tonight, is the fulfillment of the previous one. So the previous one sets things up for this one. This one, Psalms 128, is a fulfillment of 127. Whereas Psalms 127 is about building. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it's about building. Psalms 128 is about the legacy we leave behind from what we have built. And if you recall last Sunday night's message, that's kind of where it ended. The end result of the building, what we're leaving behind. And so that's kind of how Psalms 120 ends, and that's really the focus of Psalms 128. The legacy we leave behind from what we build with our lives. It is thought that these two Psalms were sung together as the first, Psalm 27, sets the stage for the second, which completes the thought. So there is this thought among the scholars that these two psalms were sung together. The first kind of sets up the sets the table, and then the second one completes it. So there is a great similarity between these two psalms, and that obviously dictates similarity within the message, the sermon tonight. Now, let me again lay a little bit more foundation before we get to the main application. In this message, the emphasis is, which is going to be different than most of my messages, the emphasis is on outcome more than the effort. Psalms 127 is the effort. Psalms 128 is the outcome. So by that nature of that, the message tonight will be much more outcome than effort, which is typically not the way I preach. I preach much more effort than outcome. Now, one of the reasons I emphasize effort over the outcome is because God holds us responsible for our effort regardless of the outcome. Now, you know, God expects you to go out and tell others the gospel even if no one gets saved. Their decision doesn't control our obedience. Our decision controls our obedience. Because people say, well, I'd go soul winning if people would get saved. No, you go soul winning because you're commanded to go. And so that's our command. We're supposed to do something to get the gospel out to this lost world. So God holds us responsible for effort regardless of the outcome. Again, the reason I emphasize effort is because we have little control of the outcome. I can't force anyone to get saved. I can't force you to do anything. I can control what I do. I can prepare my message. I can't necessarily control what you do once it's delivered. And also, the right effort usually produces the right outcome. Maybe not in quantity, but at least in quality. So that's why I typically emphasize effort. But tonight, it's outcome. It's different than normal. So why is outcome important? So all that I said about effort, but tonight we're talking about outcome. So what do we get out of the outcome side of it? Well, it's good to know what the outcome we are that we're seeking in things. If you have multiple choices, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, and they're all right choices, which choice gives me the best outcome because I'm trying to do something? It also provides direction and purpose. What we're doing, we're not doing because we have nothing else to do. It's not like we go soul winning or go to church or we read our Bible because, you know, I'm kind of bored. Nothing's on TV. I've searched the entire internet. I got to the very end, you know, and I saw it blink, 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 and it's over. I have nothing else on the internet. Nothing's on the TV. No one to text. So I'm going to read my Bible. That's not why we read our Bible. It's not like we have nothing else to do. There's a purpose behind the effort. And the outcome helps us understand that. There's something I'm trying to accomplish with my life. Again, I can't control outcome, but I have a desire for an outcome. The Apostle Paul talked about it this way, and I'm going to paraphrase the way he said it. He said, we don't go out and just like punch at the air. We don't just go out and just like jog around for no purpose. He said, we're running to win, to make the end, to get to the end result. There's a goal in our running. There's a desire in our fighting. So there's a purpose, there's a decision, a direction. So it's good to know what that outcome is because we know what the purpose is. And finally, I think the other reason, another reason that we focus on outcome like we're going to do tonight, it's a source of praise when accomplished. If we're shooting for an outcome and the outcome happens, guess who gets the praise? The Lord. I don't pat myself on the back, I hope not. All praise belongs to Him. And so we're going to look at outcome tonight. And the outcome we're looking at is the legacy. I can't always control the legacy, but I can desire a legacy. I can shoot for the legacy. I can aim for a legacy. I can look towards that legacy, put efforts toward that legacy. But I need to know, what am I doing? I'm trying to leave a legacy behind for my life. So that's the outcome we're striving for based on our efforts, based on this message and this psalm, the legacy that continues beyond our lives. So three things I want to share with you is go back to Psalms 128 and look with me at verse 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So the first thing I would bring your attention to, number one, is this. Our legacy should honor the Lord. Whatever the legacy I'm leaving behind, it should honor the Lord. A preacher was telling me that he did a funeral once. And he was going to do this fellow's funeral, and he went to the family and asked the family, what do you know about this fella that I can say? He didn't know this fella. And sometimes you get called up and they say, you know, you're a preacher, we want to have a funeral. Now, I would do anyone's funeral. Because I can tell you what, I already tell you my funeral message. Whatever this guy would tell you right now, I guarantee I know what he's going to say. Trust Christ as your Savior. If they're in heaven, they want you in heaven. If they're in hell, they don't want you in hell. I know what this fellow wants. He wants you to trust Christ as Savior. So that's always the direction. I don't say it exactly. That's kind of blunt. I don't put it in those blunt words. Okay. You're looking at me like, man, you say it in the funeral? Okay, I don't say it that way. But that's what I know. And so I'll do anyone's. I'm not big on doing weddings. Because for other reasons. But I'll do anyone's funeral. And so people call you sometimes and say, can you do this person's funeral? And so this is what happened to this preacher. They said, can you do this funeral? He says, yes. So he met with the family. He said, what can you tell me about this fella? He went to multiple family members, and the only thing they could tell him was this. He liked to read books. I mean, there's worse things, I know, but that's your whole legacy? You like to read books? I want my legacy to be more than that. I'm not looking for... We talked about this last week. I'm not looking for a bridge named after me. I'm not looking for a tower named after me. I'm not looking for a street named. And that's not what I'm looking for. But I want to know my life counted. And what do I want it to count for? I want it to count for Jesus. I want to leave a legacy that honors the Lord. Now, the truth is this. Everyone leaves a legacy. They're going to know, your family and your friends are going to know something about you. When your name comes up, there's something they're going to say about you. As a believer, you should want that something honors the Lord, speaks well of the Lord. So everyone leaves a legacy, but not every legacy honors the Lord. So I'd ask you tonight, consider with me, what will be said about your time on earth by those who know you best? What legacy are you leaving behind? They're going to say something about you. Your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your fellow church people, people at work. They're going to say, so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. What is that legacy that going to... What are you leaving behind? Now hold your place in Psalms 128. Let's look at a couple of verses together. Go in Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs 22. Look with me at verse 1. Very famous verse, Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name, this would be a legacy, a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it might be great. You say, well, I'm going to leave my, I have it all set. When I die, my family's going to get X amount of dollars, maybe through life insurance, maybe through retirement, maybe the money I've got saved up. They're going to get a house. They're going to get this. I got, and that's great. I'm not against that. Put me in your will. I'll take some of that. So I'm not against any of that. What I'm saying is this, you should, when you die, you should leave more than that. And that is a good name, something they can look at and something they can shoot for, something they can say, boy, that's an example for us to follow. Let me show you another verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now this is an odd verse, and it has several applications, but we're going to use it in a specific application tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And look with me in verse number 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Very similar to the Proverbs verse, but notice the second half of this verse. And the day of death, it's better than the day of one's birth. The day of your death is better than your birth. Well, there's several applications, but in the vein we're going, especially when it says a good name is better than... Why? How is your day of death better than your day of birth? Because your day of birth, you have nothing to leave behind. You have no legacy. You have done nothing. But your day of death, you can leave a legacy behind. You've lived a life that can be a blessing to others and a blessing to them. And so a day of death can be better than your day of birth. And so our legacy we leave behind should honor the Lord. Let me give you a quote here. Let me give you a quote by Billy Graham. It's a great quote. The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. That's a great legacy. So we should want a legacy. Here's what we should want our legacy. That we know Christ, we've lived for Christ, and we put Christ first. That's what we want people to know about us. This is the legacy we're trying to leave behind. So the first thing is this. We want a legacy that honors the Lord. There's a second thing. Go back with me to verse Psalms 128. Look with me at verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children, now this is he's putting a word picture here. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So let me see if I can give, let me give you the statement. Number two is this. So number one, our legacy should honor the Lord. Number two, our legacy should be built on the legacy of others. Now, this is an important aspect of this. The first half is true. That's the outcome. I want a legacy that honors the Lord. But I need to know, within my legacy, this is very, very important to consider. Within my legacy I'm leaving behind should be a legacy that's built on others who've gone before me. So this legacy we're talking about is built on the legacy of others. Here's the picture that he's giving in these two verses. Imagine, you will, and old olive tree surrounded by young olive plants. So here's this old olive tree. It's surrounded by young olive plants. The young ones, these young olive plants, are there because of the old one. And the old one started out as a young one. This is a picture he's saying. There's an old one, and that old one produced young ones, and those young ones eventually grew up, and it produced young ones, and the young ones grew up, and then they produced. So this is what he's trying to get across. This being surrounded by these young olive plants. So here's what I tell you about your legacy. Or I tell you about my legacy. And probably, I think it's true about your legacy. My legacy, your legacy, did not begin with me. And it should not end with me. Some were born into a legacy. You look at your parents, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, maybe your great-grandparents, maybe multiple generations before you, and you say, boy, they lived holy, and they lived godly, and look what came before me. And that's not true for all of us. It's not true for me. But for some people, it is true. They grew up in a Christian home, and their parents grew up in a Christian home, and their grandparents grew up in a Christian home, and they can go multiple generations. Some were born into a legacy. Now watch. Others were saved into a legacy. Someone went before you. There was a preacher, there was spiritual mentors, Sunday school teachers, others who invested in you, who had a legacy, who passed that legacy on to you. Maybe it wasn't your mom and dad. Maybe it wasn't your parents or grandparents. Maybe it was spiritual mentors, or maybe some previous generation. It might have been extended family, but somewhere they lived a certain life that influenced your life, and now you're trying to live a life, but you were handed a legacy, something that went before you. There was a legacy that preceded you. Now watch. And this legacy is to continue in your life and then be passed on by you. We are taking a legacy, then trying to honor that legacy, and then to pass on that legacy to the next generation. Now watch this statement. The whole message. Okay, let's take a moment. Wake each other up. Okay, see anyone sleeping? Okay. Don't sleep during this. You can go to sleep in a moment. Don't miss this one. Okay? This is worth price of admission. The whole message, this is the statement that spoke to most of me. We are not so much creators of a legacy as caretakers. Think about that. We don't create the legacy. We have one that's been given to us, and we take care of it, and we make sure we pass it on to the next generation. We have received and are now passing it down to others. Our legacy is built on the legacy of others. Let me show you a verse about this, so you don't think I'm just trying to wing it up here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look with me at verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, and notice the word usage that Paul is using to Timothy. You know, that the familiar, that term son. So he's thinking, even though he's not physically related, but there's a spiritual relation. So this legacy he's passing down. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch what he says. And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Paul lived it. He expected Timothy to live it. And he expects Timothy now to share it. The same commit thou to faithful men. Now watch. Who shall be able to teach others also? And then they're going to hand it down. But notice the next statement in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been given a legacy. You need to live this legacy and then pass down this legacy. And this is going to require grace and require endurance like a soldier. You're going to have to really work at it. You've been given it. You've got to pass it down. It's not going to happen automatically. You need to work at it. So our legacy is built on the legacy of others. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe how this kind of clicked in my brain years ago. Back when I was in Bible college, you're talking now a couple years ago. Okay, back when I was in Bible college, it doesn't matter how long ago it was. Don't get stuck up on time. So back when I was in Bible college, in one of my classes, we had to read sermons. And you had to, you read the sermon, you kind of talked about the sermon, outlined it, and it was different. It was a preacher's homiletical class, I think. But there's a reason for it. So we had to read multiple sermons. I think we had to read so many sermons every week or a sermon a week or something. So we're doing this in that class. And as long as they were, you know, biblically correct. I mean, they didn't have to be Baptist preachers necessarily, but as long as they were biblically correct, and you know, they expect you to go off into some, you know, don't read some sermon, some Buddhist guy. But you know, they had to be biblically correct sermons. And then you did some things to it, and then you turned it in. So I'm reading these sermons, and the idea was to read sermons of previous generations to help you as well. So I got a book, I'm just flipping it open. I'm like, oh, this sounds like an interesting sermon. So I start reading this sermon. And this sermon was written like a generation or two before me. And it started sinking in when I was reading the sermon. I've heard this sermon somewhere. Now, this guy's been dead a long time, so it's not him. Where? And then I'm thinking, Brother Howes preached the same sermon. Now, I'm not saying Brother Howes preach his sermon. I'm just saying Brother Howes preach a sermon identical to what this guy preached, because it's like a transcribed sermon. Okay, it wasn't a recording. This happened way before all those times. So I'm thinking, isn't that kind of, I mean, and the Bible is the Bible. That's not, I guess, unusual for two preachers to preach the same thing. You'd kind of hope that somewhere along the line they're preaching the same thing. And I thought, you know, cool, nice, novel, gee whiz. Okay, so I'm reading that and I say, this is nice. And then I'm thinking, because I'd heard a sermon, I don't know, sometime before Brother Howes preached, you know, he preached a sermon very similar. Then I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, wow, that's just kind of neato, you know. So then I'm reading another sermon here, not long after that, and this is now a couple generations before that sermon. So here's Brother Howes, a couple generations before him, I read that sermon. Now, a couple generations before this guy, this is like, I think Brother Howes is, you know, 1980s. This guy I'm reading is like 1880s. Now I'm reading a sermon like in the early 1800s, late 1700s. It was the same sermon. The same truth. It's almost like they had, all three guys had got together, some through the time machine, and said, let's preach a sermon. You know what I realize? That's how it should be. Not that we're all preaching each other's sermons. I'm not saying that. But the truth is, in every generation, every generation needs to be hearing the same things. We're not trying to come up with new truth. We're not trying to reinvent what the Bible says. We're trying to learn it, live it, and then pass it on to the next generation. So that's our legacy. Our legacy should be built on the legacy of others. This is the outcome. So we want a legacy that honors the Lord, a legacy that's true to what we've received. So here's my question for you. My previous question was, let me find my place, what legacy are we leaving behind that honors the Lord? So my second question is this, what legacy of the past are we handing down to those who come after us? It's not just a bunch of stories. You know, when I was a kid, I walked, you know, 3 miles uphill in the snow to school and then 3 miles uphill the snow back home. I'm not talking about just stories of the past. I'm talking about a legacy. You know, holiness was true 100 years ago. Holiness is true today, and holiness is true 100 years from now. You know why? Be holy. This is what the Lord said. Be holy, for I am holy. God's always going to be holy. You say, well, it doesn't matter how much the world changes. It doesn't matter. We're still supposed to be holy. We're still supposed to be righteous. We're still supposed to be after souls. All the things in the Bible is true in every generation. That's the second thing I have you notice. So our legacy should honor the Lord. Number two, our legacy should be built on the legacy of others. Number three. Go with me now to verse number 5. And with the idea of the Lord's Supper, the message is a little shorter. Not that much. Don't get your hopes up. But it's a little shorter. Verse 5, Psalms 128. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. That brings us to our third thought. A legacy honors the Lord, legacy built on the legacy of others. Number three is this. Our legacy should further the will of God. The good of Jerusalem and peace upon Israel was what God wanted to accomplish. You're in Psalms 128. Just go back a couple of Psalms. Psalms 122. Look with me at verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Let me just stop for a moment. I believe that the Jewish people are God's covenant people. He made a covenant with Abraham, and that he has not got rid of that covenant. They have rejected their Messiah, and they've been put on a shelf, as it were. They've been put aside. We, as Gentiles now, are the main movers and shakers of God's work. Not because God has rejected the Jews, but the Jews rejected the Messiah. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. So the Jewish people rejected the Messiah. That put them, as it were, on a shelf. They're not being used. Not because God wouldn't want to or doesn't want to, but because they won't come to Jesus Christ. We who have come to Christ, primarily Gentiles, I would say the saved population is probably 99.5%, 9%, 0.99% maybe, Gentiles is I mean, there are some saved Jewish people, but they're a very, very small number. But God still has his eye upon the Jewish people. And there's going to be a rapture. And you look at what's happening in Revelation. Now there's a refocus of the Lord back to the Jewish people. Another working with them, trying to bring what he can out of them going into the second return of Christ. We've talked about those before, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But all to say is, this is what the Lord wants. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When I think about Israel, first of all, they're a democratic elected government in the midst of a lot of dictatorships and bad characters there in the Middle East. But also, I look at it as, that is God's promised land still. Those are God's covenant people still. I'm not saying they're saved. I'm not saying they're doing right. But God's eyes are still on them. So I'm glad, as a nation, America, that we stand behind Israel. Go back to verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Talking about Israel. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. So this is what the Lord's eyes are upon them. The Lord still has a desire for them. You think about the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, I would, again, I'm paraphrasing, I would give up my own salvation if my people, my kinsmen, the fellow Jewish people, if they would get saved. So this is the heart of God, and definitely the heart of the Apostle Paul as well. So our legacy should further the will of God. And this good of Jerusalem, this peace upon Israel, was what God wanted to accomplish. Our legacy that we're talking about, this legacy we're leaving behind, this isn't about pride or desire to be known. Now, we got to spend a few moments on this. Because it's easy to get so focused on a legacy that we start now focused on what people think about us and talk about us and what they say about us. And then we become so focused on, you know, I want to make sure people speak well of me. That's not, the focus isn't trying to you to talk well of me. My focus is to do well by the Lord, honor Him, take what I've received and live it and try to pass it on. And then that what I'm doing is furthering the will of God. That's the legacy. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not looking to change the name of the church to Dennis White Memorial Baptist Church. Now, when I leave, I expect that. Just to let you know, I'm just kidding. I'm not looking to get my name on the name of a church or even a. I'm not against. Okay, we're gonna honor Brother Don Daniel with our new when we finished fixing up the new fellowship hall. He served the Lord many years. I'm not against that, but he did not. Now watch. He did not minister for decades so that a fellowship hall would be named after him. Now, other than what he knows from heaven, I don't know how much. If I was in heaven, I don't know if I really am going to be focused on what's happening on earth. I think my focus is going to be on Jesus. But I don't know how much they pay attention to what's going on down here. But I don't think Don Daniel saying, oh man, I hope they name something after me. I think Don Daniel lived his life for the glory of God. I'm not against naming things. What I'm against is living for that. That's what gets us in trouble. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So this is a legacy. We want to further the will of God. So our legacy isn't about our pride. Our legacy isn't about our desire to be known. Rather, our legacy is focused on God and His eternal purposes. What does that mean? That means this. I need to see my life the way God sees it, as a part of His overall plan of what He's trying to accomplish. That's all. I'm just a part of His big plan. I want to do what I can do to live for the Lord. We see our legacy in terms of time. See, that's our humanity. We have a birth, we have a death. People live before us, people come after us. We see our legacy in terms of time. And I understand, that's just our humanity. God sees our legacy in terms of His work to accomplish His will. You look at how the Bible describes our service. He talks about servants being sent into the field to do a job. That's what we are. We're just His servants sitting into the field. We have a, happens to be, we see it in time, God sees it in things He's accomplishing. So here's what it is. We're getting to the end now. We should want our legacy to impact others. And we should want to honor the legacy of others who've gone before us. But mostly, we should want a legacy that furthers the will of God. So let's put it all together and we're done. Each of us tonight are building a legacy. And that legacy is ultimately the outcome of our lives. Now, it's important that we understand this. Why? So we can choose, what am I going to invest my life in? Am I going to invest my life in things that honor the Lord? Because that was what I want my legacy to be. Am I going to invest my life in the things that I've been given from previous generations, how they live for the Lord? Am I going to invest in that? Am I going to invest in things that are furthering the will of God as the will of God goes forward? What am I investing my life in? I need to wisely choose my effort because there's a legacy I'm trying to leave behind. We are going to be remembered by someone for something. That's the reality. We're going to be remembered by someone for something. And we should want that remembrance to be a legacy that honors the Lord. Psalms 128 begins very clearly. It says this: Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. That's the effort that leaves the right legacy. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me?